Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, I think.
Let's get lost in a better place. Pick up the world, travel through time and space. So much to learn, so much to see. A chance to escape reality. Open your mind and your heart. Gain new knowledge with a fresh new start. They never will bring you there. So let's talk about it when life and on the air.
Morning, everyone. This is Fran Lewis. This is MJ Network. And this is a very special broadcast with three very special people. I would like to introduce former police detective and author. Some of my most favorite books that I reviewed, Chris Carlson is here, and Gabriel Vajon, that is a former oncology pediatric nurse, and Gabriel is here, and he's an author of some of my other favorite books that I reviewed, and Marcia Casper Cook, who is the host of A Good Story is a Good Story, and the author of my favorite children's book, Snack Attack, and a former nurse. Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much
Hi.
For
morning,
doing this.
Jen.
I really appreciate it.
Good morning.
Morning.
This is a hi.
This
is a very serious show. It's one of those where I have to do it. A week ago Sunday, I was dealing with this pandemic and social distancing, and I was walking in the street, and two people wanted to get past me. So real fast, I moved to the side, and unfortunately, my glasses fogged because that's what happens sometimes. I figured out the cure for that too, and I fell. And I really got hurt a lot. And I wound up calling my favorite ER. It was pretty bad. And I have a broken left thumb, so I'm working with dyed fingers, among other things that I banged up. But when I got to the emergency room, and they said, we love you, don't worry about it, and they cracked up laughing. They said, our favorite pain in the you-know-what is here. And they were great. So much for being nice. The only good thing is that the two people that passed me came back to help me up, which I thought was really nice, because in this time with this miserable pandemic, nobody does anything. So social distancing is something that, unfortunately, we have to deal with every day. Even in the elevator in my building, only one person's allowed. And if somebody's waiting for the elevator, they have to wait for the next one. Then I'll let her come in with you. The exact spacing or exact amount is supposed to be 6 feet, but who knows if that's even enough, and that's supposed to prevent the virus.
Right.
My question to everyone is, what do you think about social distancing, and as social beings, how does this affect you, and how does it wearing a mask change your life when you walk outside, when I feel like I'm walking and hiding who I am? So how do you feel about it, Gabriel? What do you think?
Well, wearing the mask is, as a nurse, is not something that's alien to me. It is kind of weird to be wearing it out in public. But I have, no problem complying with the rules and suggestions, whether it's social distancing or wearing a mask. I try to have a sense of humor about it. When you're wearing a mask, for example, you can't open up an app on your phone when you go to look at it because it doesn't recognize you. A couple of friends and I have joked about the fact, we're all going to go out and rob a bank because we're wearing masks or bandanas. When I think about it, the thing I worry about is, and I do think this is going to be lasting for a longer time than we expect, because there are a lot of people that aren't compliant. That worries me that we'll be chasing the dragon's tail for longer than we should. When I think about the masks, I often think about, how children think about this and how they're reacting to it. Because, on one hand, I wonder, is it all a game to them? Is it fun or is it now scary? I try to think about, how they're looking at the world and, what parents have to explain to kids why they're doing things or why they can't go out. I try to stay positive. I don't mind staying, 6 feet away from people. I'm kind of, introverted as it is, so I don't deal with a lot of people, so the whole issue hasn't bothered me as much. I don't know about some of the other panelists that we have here today. I'd love to hear what they have to say.
Marcia, what do you think?
Well, I think I'm doing whatever I have to make it better for everybody else. I think that if they would have done this at the beginning, different steps, and it wouldn't have taken so long to do some of the things that they're still not doing, I think we'd be in a better place now. There were no tests, and I mean, these are things that matter. Mm-hmm. And now everybody that has a test, 2 minutes later, they're saying the test might not be good. So if you're social distancing and the people that are social distancing and doing all the things that we're supposed to do, the other people in the country are not. So in the USA, if we had one uniform plan, the social distancing would be much more, it would be easier, because when you're in a store, they won't let you in stores now. I mean, to go grocery shopping, unless you have a mask. No, I don't like a mask, but I'm wearing it because I'm a talker, and I always say hi to everybody. I'm talking, and that's hard for me. So I go to stores and just walk and don't do anything, because it'll endanger somebody if I should come down with it. So this is where I am, and I mean, we need it, and that's, you know, no matter if we like it or sometimes we don't like things, but we have to do it for everybody else also, and especially the young people. We have to do it for them, because this is the world they're going to be coming into, and we're already moving on. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not ready to die. That's not what I mean, you know.
I think it's a mild inconvenience, and for the greater good, I don't understand really the angst over this. I don't want to wear a mask. I'm going to storm the castle walls and argue over it with, you know, with some of these rallies and stuff.
Yeah.
To me, it's it may not be much protection for you, but you're protecting somebody else. There's a lot of people that are essential workers, and they deserve not to be exposed.
Right.
Out of courtesy to them, there are children who have immune issues that they deserve a courtesy. And I don't, this is such a minor thing. And and people forget that for decades now, we've seen signs in various parts of the country where they say, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Well, a business has a right, just like those businesses, those restaurants, in Florida, they don't want your dirty, sandy, bare feet walking through their restaurant or whatever. Right. And we're fine with that. Fine restaurants say men have to wear a sport coat and tie. Mm-hmm. We're fine with that. So why people are so upset over this, I don't really know. But it's their business. People, you know, businesses have a right to have their own rules. You know, you're not losing any constitutional right by being asked to wear a mask. You know, they're not telling you that you can't come in because of race, color, or creed. They're telling you you can't come in unless you wear a mask. So just wear the mask.
Well, there are people as I'm walking in the street that are not wearing masks. The governor up here said we have to wear a mask. People walk their dogs. People are walking, whatever. I walk away from them. I don't say anything. When they walk into the bakery, I've said to the owner, they're not wearing a mask. You need to tell them to leave. I mean, seriously. There are people that come up and they're walking. They're too close, and I go, would you mind moving back? And my husband looks at me and goes, it's my safety. I don't care about their feelings at this particular point. I just say what it is. The only thing I want to know, I mean, seriously, you get up every morning and you want to smile, and it's really hard. So how can we avoid becoming emotionally disconnected from others during this time? I mean, yesterday was Mother's Day, and it was so sad because nothing's open, no restaurants, no family. And I mean, I was lucky my nephews and my nieces Facebooked me to see if I'm alive and I'm okay, and to say, well, she's here. I said, I'm always here. Don't ever worry about it. And it made me feel good to know that I count. So how can we avoid becoming emotionally disconnected from others? And how do you manage to stay in touch with people besides texting and phone calls and stuff? How do you deal with this and not want to take a Valium or a stress pill? Seriously.
What do you want? Well, I would say, a lot of the people that I know, they're using technology. They're doing Zoom or they're doing Crowdcast, or some version of Skype and FaceTime. So they feel that sense of connection because they actually can see the person. They're doing this in some places in clinical settings so family members can see the person that's in the hospital. Or, you know, just they do things over the computers, you know, have conversations and do stuff where I think it's important that, you know, seeing the other person helps.
Yeah, Fran, well, you know, I just want to say also, but, you know, the other day, Anderson Cooper said exactly what you said about he rides his bike to CNN every day, and he said his glasses get fogged up, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so what did you think? Because you were just saying you had some way of not doing it, you know, where it won't fog up. What is
well,
what
happened
what that
was,
and I think people probably want to hear that, you know, hate, you know what I mean? Because I, as soon as he said that, I went, oh, my God, because I knew that it happened to you.
Yeah, it happens to us all, I think.
Well, I was walking, and I found an article on Google, and I tried it yesterday, and I said, you know, this is not going to work. But it did, actually, pretty much.
What is it?
Really simple. Instead of ordering these defogging things, I washed my glasses with my lenses with warm water and soap, plain soap. And I put it back under warm water, and I dried it with a cloth. And I'm saying, this is impossible. It's not going to work. So I stuck the mask up higher on my nose so I could see. I put the glasses over it, and I actually walked, and they did not fog. I can't promise that it's going to work all the time. But I was so excited. I was in tears. I said, oh, my God. I could actually see because everyone is complaining about it's dangerous. I tripped over something, but I couldn't tell you what it was. It was something on the sidewalk, and I'm really banged up and messed up, and what can I say? I mean, it takes me an hour and a half to wash my hair because of this.
Nice.
But, you know, but now it's purple and blonde, so it's even better. What can I say? No, I'm serious. I did do purple. So how do you deal with this? And as authors, I'm doing a lot to help authors, everybody, as best I can. You know, I read things. They don't have, you know, their book signings. Gabriel was supposed to have something, or Chris, or anybody, or Marsha, you know, everybody. So as authors and professionals, how do you manage social distancing by working with colleagues? I know RG is constantly publishing stuff, and I got friended by Linwood Barkley today. Seriously, that was a first.
Well, Fran, you know, like on my show last week, I had all children's authors on, and one of the authors was an optometrist who now cannot work because they can't figure out a way any of the optometrists to not have such close distance. But he was saying, you know, I mean, we're all a lot of times people are not they're not concentrating, you know, and I think. That's one of the things. But the other thing, what he said, though, is interesting. I don't know that if I'll do it or not, but a lot of places are looking to do Zoom with authors.
Yeah.
So that's what he's doing now, because if you can't go to signings, he just had a new book out. It's hard for authors if they have a new book, but you know what? You know, that's the one thing that people will have to get used to, and I did mention this on my show, because everybody's always saying new book. So if the book is 6 months old when he can get out there, it's still a new book, and it's a good book.
Yeah,
what's the difference? But I think that people will have to get used to not saying, oh, this book was just out today. It doesn't really matter, because if it's 6 months or a year, it's still going to be a good book one way or the other. So I think the world is going to have to change a little instead of saying, did you have a book within the year? You know, maybe not. Maybe you don't. Maybe you have a book that you did 2 years ago that when we all get out, we can do book signings. So I think people will have to change some of their thinking and be a little, you know, that's going to be what's progressive. You can move on. We're going to have to, if these are the worst problems, these are nothing compared to people that have no food, nowhere to live, no insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a really, the pandemic is just affected everybody in different ways, but some very seriously. And living with people that are dying and can't even have funerals. So, I mean, this is where we are now.
Have a funeral. You can't have a funeral
now. We have to change some of our ways.
Yeah, my optometrist.
For me, I go on a lot of tours. I take a lot of blog tours
yeah.
and try to connect with people
yeah,
that
you did.
Way. And I think that, I mean, like they're saying, we're just going to have to adjust. You know, it's like going from
yeah,
an automatic
right.
car now back
yeah.
to a stick shift. We can figure
yeah.
it out. And, you know, and our Barnes & Noble, local Barnes & Noble is pretty big. And myself and another writer who writes similar stories, you know, thrillers, stories. I write historical thrillers. She writes regular thrillers. We have every intention. As soon as they open a bit, the Barnes & Noble back up. Our book will probably be a year or 6 months old. It's not going to be fresh out of the box. But I don't think people will have a problem with that.
I agree.
No.
I agree.
Well, one of the things that we're doing up here in Boston is we're having local authors go on Crowdcast and
hmm.
read from, you know, read an excerpt. And usually
good
what
idea.
The organizer will do
what's that
is
called?
They'll reach
Crowdcast?
Out to Crowdcast is just like another version of Zoom.
Oh,
but
okay.
what the organizer does is he gathers up these writers and they'll read like maybe, you know, for 5 minutes, and he'll coordinate with an independent bookstore that's in the area, provide
uh-huh.
a link in the televised session, and that particular bookstore will ship out books that people will order. So it's a way for authors to get some visibility, support, you know, local shops
yeah.
because they're getting hammered because
yeah.
they have no traffic
mm-hmm.
coming into the stores. So what they'll
yeah.
do is they'll ship, you know, curbside to whoever orders a book, and it gives them business. It helps the authors a little bit. And, you know, we try to promote that either through Facebook or through Twitter. And you get a chance to, you know, see authors and hear them read. And, you know, it's fun. It's, you know, it's a social interaction of sorts. Because you can type in into the, on the side, like there's a little chat going. You could ask questions, make comments.
Oh,
that's positive. That's fantastic.
Good. It's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you have trouble? I mean, you're lucky because I review everything in the world. And a lot of the publishers are having trouble sending me print books. But for some reason, I've been reviewing for Isabel Blackthorne. And if my friend asks for a book in print, they manage to find one for some reason. Yeah, the larger publishers, they wanted me. I don't do digital. I
well, maybe she bought them. Maybe she has them herself and sent
no,
it
she
out.
Said the publisher said there's no problem. They said, for you, no problem. Anybody else, they don't care. I mean, I get lucky sometimes.
Why would that be?
But they're not coming. They're not coming, the book. So it's like the post office is not delivering. And so I got 5 questions this week. How come you didn't read the book? I go, because I didn't get it. What am I going to do? Can only do what you can do, seriously. And then there were, you know, publicists, like I said before, that are pressuring me, like, when are you going to read the book? I go, well, because I'm going to get to it when it's on my schedule, when I have to post other things. It's hard. I mean, Gabriel, as a healthcare worker, you and Marcia have, you know, have a different perspective of this. And I want to do, before I forget, a special shout out to the nurses, doctors, and staff, and the guard at St. John's Riverside and Dobbs Ferry for taking care of me last Sunday and telling me I don't have to wait. I could
You're
not
lucky.
Believe
You're lucky.
Yeah, I was. Well, I called them and told them I was coming. See, there's a difference.
Well, they know
I just
you're ready
called
because you've been there a lot, but that's not how it goes. That would be,
I know.
Nice. That would be really
I
nice.
Go, this
but
is
that
your favorite. Yeah, this is your favorite author and radio host who's coming, and they go, Wilma, we got you covered. It's rare that that happens, but, yeah, they really do. So thank you, and the guard had a sense of humor, thank God. So as a healthcare worker, I mean, this must be stressful.
Well, I think one of the things with the kids now, that's the thing that bothers me
yeah.
the most, when the children are – They're getting very sick. And so
yeah,
I think what probably might have to be done is you really can't, I mean, I think this is what it always was. You don't start talking about this will work, that will work, this will work,
mm-hmm.
and when you don't know. And so at the beginning when they started telling people children couldn't get it and anybody had to be older that would get it, and that is not applying for everybody. And it's so I think right now people have to understand that this is going to take time, and the problem is there is no easy fix. That would be great, but there isn't right now, and that's the sad part, but there isn't. But there are things they could have done, which I'm sure Gabriel will say too. I mean, there's a lot of things they could have done, and they didn't do, so now we're in a mess.
Well, My own, one comment here is that one of the things I fear most is, and this is a term I know, some of you may know, but this is unfortunately a situation where I fear that a lot of nurses will have caregiver syndrome. You know, they uh-huh. just get burnt out. And they, you know, I'm hearing stories. I don't know if it's anecdotal or true that some nurses don't have personal protective equipment, or they're uh-huh. having difficulty getting it, or they're having to reuse it. That to me is horrifying because they are on the front lines with the doctors. And, you know, healthcare workers aren't just doctors and nurses. They're the nurses' aides. They're the lab techs.
Yeah.
You know, they're everybody that walk in that hospital, you know, everybody from the cafeteria to, you know, the front desk. And
you know what I saw? Maintenance people. They need maintenance people.
Right.
Yeah, they are too.
Yeah.
And I hope, and I say this positively, is I'm hope that when this is all over, that, you know, experts and policymakers really examine the healthcare system, you know,
uh-huh.
for what worked and what didn't work and how it could be better.
Yeah.
And, you know, that we show some sense of gratitude to the people that, you know, before we thought, you know, oh, you know, they're greedy because they're asking for a higher minimum wage. Well, guess what? The people that are delivering food are also exposed. They're putting their lives on the line.
Yeah.
They're making people safe.
Uh-huh.
And they're getting sick, and some of them have health insurance, or they're not getting enough health insurance, and for what, $12 an hour? So I'm hoping at the end of the day, you know, we look at the healthcare system, we get beyond party politics, and you know, put some serious work into rehabilitating or reforming the areas that don't work, because.
Yeah.
This situation, I think, was horribly mismanaged.
Yeah.
And it also comes down to, and I think this will show up in the analysis, the life and death will matter on what state you live in because of how the governor handled it or didn't handle it. You know, I'm fortunate here in Massachusetts that Governor Baker has been very transparent, like Governor Cuomo, about what to do, what not to do, and why he's, you know, saying certain things for policy. So people are informed, but, you know, I'm grateful for living in Massachusetts. I don't know if I would want to live in some other states where people are being forced to go back to work because, you know, the governor opens it up and now you choose not to go to work. You can't file unemployment and, you know, you're putting your life into
it is. I agree.
In your own hands.
It's criminal to force people back to work, and they don't put up these meat packers, these meat processors.
Uh-huh.
They don't have proper care. They don't have proper distancing, and they can't even sue their employer if they get sick.
Yeah.
We're like you. We're in Washington, and Governor Inslee has been very transparent and very quick to act, and so our numbers are going down.
Yeah, and Florida numbers are going up too. All of us that are right on now are all in states that are paying attention to the rules.
Right.
Yeah, well, there's a state that my cousin lives in. She's in Florida, and she had coronavirus. She was tested positive for coronavirus. And until she got tested, you could die, she said. And I was on the news the other day. There's a restaurant that said that the workers have to come back to work. They're not allowed to wear masks or they get fired. I mean, seriously?
They're not allowed to wear masks?
They're not allowed to wear masks. They were told that they cannot wear masks or not come to work. I would not come to work. My cousin was supposed to get tested for the antibodies, which I did get tested for last week. It's not that hard to get that test. They don't know how accurate it is. They're not really sure.
Well, that's the problem.
That is the problem.
I mean, you know, where have you ever – I mean, I worked in the pediatric office for years. We did throat cultures left and right. I mean, thousands of them. I mean, that's what we did, you know. And so to think that we can't get the reagent and the – swabs. I can't understand that. I mean, and I know that name Purity that they were using, Puritan, we used them years ago. So, I mean, to me, this was first the most important thing that didn't happen, and that's we're in this situation because it spread so fast, and you didn't know who had it, and you still don't know who has it. And this is a huge problem, and I think the states that we're all in understand that we have to take our time with this, because I just saw before the show, I was watching CNN, naturally, but they were saying that it's coming back when people, I think it was in Korea or something, where they went to bars, and there was a whole, they were crowded, and now they're going to have to rethink about what they did. See, that's the thing. I mean, if they don't do it right again, we're just going to go right back to square one. So the reason if we would have had the whole United States in a uniform plan, we wouldn't be all probably at home right now, because I think we would have been quarantined for 2 weeks, tested, and I think we wouldn't be talking right now about how horrible everything is, because it would have been done. Not done for us, it's been handled with care and accurately. Telling people
and,
to go to
and,
park
you know,
aren't accurate. It's crazy. If they're, you know, you have a test, they go, well, we don't know if it worked. This is not a good thing.
Well, I mean, you know, historically, we've handled situations before where we had plans.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Think about polio. I mean, you know, the logistics around doing vaccinations for an entire nation has been done before, so we can do it.
Yeah.
But I just worry that with places or states or areas where people are being non-compliant, you know, we're going to be just chasing this, and then, you know, I fear this thing might mutate, or you know, when flu season comes around, that's going to be on top of everything. And as I said earlier, with you know the nurses being burnt out, you know, it's not like we have waves and waves of nurses, you know, to come up. I mean. Here in Boston, they've been using, or they've been asking nursing students in their last semester to help out, which is, you know, I mean, obviously they have training. They have not passed our boards yet, but, you know, they're showing up. You know, I worry about them because they haven't even started
just,
their career yet.
Their career, yeah, right.
Yeah, well, Vivian,
however,
what do you think about the medication that they're using? What do you think about hydrochlorazine? I mean, they were so fast to find what they think is a cure. Well, I'm not even going to get started with the person that's running the world. Forget about that. And a vaccine. And there's so many different places that are going to have the vaccine. I worry about the hydrochlorazine has sulfur, by the way, and I'm allergic to sulfur. So God forbid, I couldn't take it anyway. And now they have a new one that's used for leprosy and some other diseases.
Respiratory.
They're not sure. Something with an R. They're not even sure if that's going to work. It's just as if the president is saying, "Yeah, that's great. We're just going to approve it." I mean, seriously, it's
you
scary.
Can't do these things one two. You can't do these things
you
one two three.
You can't
trials. I mean, you can't.
Right.
It has to be safe.
I don't even know if they know what the word safe is anymore at this particular point. I mean, what do you think about telehealth? I mean, that's the latest thing. You can't go to a doctor's office. You have to talk to them on your phone. I mean, seriously?
Yes.
Well, I think it was Gabriel when you said that the whole system probably will be due for a change over anyway, because I think – you know, it's better than nothing, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
But on certain levels, but if you can't, but on a lot of things, like if you're going for a checkup, which you know,
you
let's say,
yeah.
I had endocrinologist, so she called me, we're talking, and said come back in a year or whatever and get my, I didn't get my blood test, but I couldn't because I'm not going for a blood test right now. So anyway, but she was saying, you know, I mean. She doesn't know that if I have high blood. She knows I didn't, but have high blood pressure. But how do you do all of those things? How do you get their blood pressure taken? How do you know if they have a temperature? How do you know their pulse? I mean, you can't. And if they gained weight, lost weight, if they're
fundamental.
Yes.
These are all fundamental assessment skills, you know, taking the temperature, the blood pressure, you know, that type of information tells a nurse a lot, and obviously it tells a doctor a lot. you know, we're now seeing that, and I think we've all know this, but we've never really discussed it publicly as much, is that we're realizing that, you know, we're talking about health insurance, who has insurance,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't have insurance,
yeah.
who doesn't have enough
yeah.
insurance. It's a question, it's been an issue of access, and, you know, the, unfortunately, the mortality demographics show that, you know, African-Americans are more vulnerable
mm-hmm.
to this. We already know the elderly are. You know, as we mentioned earlier in the conversation, the myth has been exploded that young people can't die from this. Well, they
yeah.
are dying from it.
Yeah.
Granted,
yeah.
not in proportion as to the elderly. As for the malaria medication, it's a cheap medication. You know, it's been used for malaria. It's been used for RA, rheumatoid arthritis, but it has serious side effects. It can be damaging
yep.
to the heart.
And people, right?
And
people that have lupus, they can't get their medicines now because
right.
there's
a
shortage
yeah.
for them. And this I feel is very dangerous.
Right.
Yeah.
And I hope
their medicine.
Nobody wants to see. I mean, everybody wants a vaccine, yes, but nobody wants to see an exorbitant cost for it. And
right.
people want to know that it's safe. And that's, you know, people have their opinions about the FDA and politics. But there is a process in place to validate,
yeah. Yeah.
you know, test results and safety. And, yes, you know, they could expedite it in terms of the pipeline compared to other drugs. The other thing that we need to worry about is there are people out there with chronic illnesses that
yeah.
cannot be treated, and their situation is
right.
being exacerbated. Some, for example, some places are doing chemo. Some places are not.
Yeah.
You know, it all depends on where you are.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, it's
yeah.
sad because there was a young guy that had lupus, and because he didn't get his medication, he died of the coronavirus,
mm-hmm.
and it was on
mm-hmm.
Channel 12. I mean,
yeah.
the kids,
mm-hmm.
there are several children in New York City that died from coronavirus, but they got Kawasaki as a side effect
mm-hmm.
to it.
Yeah.
yeah, that's what's going on mm-hmm. here. So talk about, I mean, as an educator, I listen to Mayor whatever talk about New York City children and telling everybody, and I disagree, after 36 years in the New York public system, which was great when I was there, the kids are suffering. They feel that online and this online internet learning, distance learning is great. Well, it's great if you are very bright and you know how to work a computer, but if you're in the first grade and you're still learning to read,
yeah.
it's not so great. Also, a lot
yeah.
of the kids in New York City do not have tablets. And the brilliant
yeah.
chancellor, who has absolutely no clue about life in general, said, oh, I'm going to give everyone a tablet. But the teachers, I'm not sure they're doing anything. I don't even think half the kids are doing anything. I know the children up here, and I know my nieces and nephews and cousins are, because they're like me, the parents. You're going to do this. So how do you feel about
you
that?
Know,
I mean,
Fran, you say that all the time about, you know, homework and how your mother made you do all your homework and, you know, she made you read books and things. But on the other end, the people that were on my show, Magic Bean Bookstore, that's an internet bookstore
yeah.
for children, and they were saying, really, she had talked to a lot of different teachers and librarians.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, during this time right now, because it's so stressful, you almost can't push your children to do the homework. You can
yeah.
let them do other things, because right now, whatever they're learning, they will relearn it, and they will still go on to go to school. But right now, sometimes if you make them do things, they will hate school, and you don't want them to. That's the worst thing that you want. So, because parents are not – some maybe people that do homeschooling, they do that, but most parents are not teachers. So if you push too hard, it may take them in the wrong direction. So maybe have them enjoy a few things during the day other than just doing homework, because this will not probably last forever, hopefully, and they will get along without learning some of the things, especially when they're 6 and 7. It'll mm-hmm. be fine. They'll make it.
Yeah, I understand
what
you're saying, but the governor here seems to feel that they're going to extend that a long time, and that worries me a lot. That's going to happen. I think Gabriel's phone dropped out. that it happened. Also, you're right. My cousins, they go hiking. My nephews are in college, and they take a break, or they call me to say hi, or can you help me with something, or whatever like that. I agree. But when the mayor of New York City says they're going to be promoted no matter what, even if they don't do the work, that bothers me. Because even they should be accountable to do something. Just try. My nephew's in Florida. He calls me constantly to help him with his English assignments because the teachers are supposed to be available, you know, through texting or emails, and they're not.
Yeah.
So it bothers me. Chris, what do you think, seriously?
I tell you, I think one of the greatest shames is that you'll see Jimmy Kimmel or somebody like this, and they'll stop people on the street, and they'll say, can you point to something and name the country? And they can't name a country. They can't.
Yeah.
They did a thing on the beach last week in California, and it wasn't Jimmy Kimmel, it was some other show. I think it may have been CNN. And they said who won the Civil War? And the first 10 people they asked didn't have any idea. I mean, it's tragic to me. And when I was in school, if you didn't do the work, you got held back. And then the next generation, they said, well, we're not holding anybody back. And I think I think we're getting stupider as a nation because of that. There were consequences. If you didn't do the work, there were consequences, and now there's none. And I think that's going to be a problem for us now, and it's a problem for down the road if we don't fix it in some way.
Some doctor was on and an educator. Mm-hmm. They were on, I don't know, I heard them talking, and they were saying it might not be a bad idea if this lasts longer to forget about this year and hold and just move on and just let them go back and do what they didn't do, and so they'll just graduate a year later. But at least they will not be missing. I mean, because in high school, you do miss things. You can't. In grammar school, when you're 5 and 6, not, you know, urgent, maybe 7 or 8. But when you're in high school, if you miss certain things, that will really impair you for college because you're not going to have the knowledge that you need. But this is a whole U.S. thing, so everybody's in this together. That's the one thing. So they'll have to rechange things, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And if they do go back, will this happen again? That's what they're saying. Yes, so the hope that always people like to have, they're not giving anybody hope, which is kind of making a lot, well, not kind of, it is distressing a lot of people, and they are very stressed out.
Well,
so
being very honest, as an educator now, too, the teachers have been telling me that even before this happened, the principals and the Board of Ed, I don't know about the other state, but the DOE in New York City, they don't want to hold kids over, even if they are so far below level. When I was teaching, very few children got held over because we knew exactly what we were doing. And anyone that did held over, you had to really be accountable. My sister-in-law works in New Jersey, and she said that the students there, even if they're behind and don't do their homework, the principal said, you have to fill out 25 pages of paperwork, do testing, blah, 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 and they're not holding them over. So, I mean, I can understand for children that are behind, you want them to repeat, but for the kids that are at the top, they need to do something for that also. It makes it hard, too. The other thing is, let's get on to another one. How do you get, the hardest thing around where I live is food. Seriously. They don't deliver. And if it is, it's curbside. And it's restaurants. So how do you deal with, besides a supermarket, how do you deal with getting the stuff that you need? Because they don't have a lot of stuff around here, that's for sure. Which explains why I never have to worry about gaining weight ever again.
Well, we're getting a lot. I noticed the grocery stores in Chicago, I'm in the suburbs, and they have a lot. They seem to be getting more food. Yeah, I don't seem to see the same thing as I did at the beginning of this.
Well, we're doing pretty well, too. I mean, there's some empty things on the shelves, but we have our local Safeway. And we're on a peninsula just west of Seattle. And we're getting pretty much deliveries. Now, the grocery stores tell us, they said they don't do rain checks. If they are out of something, they won't guarantee the delivery of anything. But for the most part, there's been meat, there's been the essentials. Knock wood, we're holding our own so far. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, my cousin tried Instacart, and she wound up She never got it. She never got it.
I've been going in, but I used to shop at some smaller stores, but now I'm shopping at bigger stores, so I don't come in contact with people, you know, standing in line. Not standing in line, but I mean going down the aisles, because now they're one way. They weren't one way at the beginning, but now they're one way.
Yeah.
So you can't
same here.
Get, same. And if you're standing at the register, it's 6 feet apart, and they mean it, because you're not, there's, you know, markings on the floor where you have to stand, and you can't unload your, you can't put your groceries out to be checked out until the other person is done. So they
don't
they are
want you to come in pairs either. As a matter of fact, my supermarket, which I love, Acme, God bless you, seriously, there's a sign on the door. They prefer that you come by yourself. They don't even want, and people do go together, but they would prefer that you shop one person so that you don't have the problem of two people standing together. Yeah, and it's fine because
I
sit in the
car. They're walking, right, they're not going very fast. They're kind of talking to each other. They're drinking a Starbucks coffee, and they're coming in every day because they have nothing to do. I heard that, and people are not thrilled about that because they want you to come in, do your thing, and leave.
And get out.
Yeah.
Everywhere we've gone to, whether it's Safeway or whether it's the pharmacy, the Walgreens, everywhere up here, they're real good about wiping down between customers. We were at Lowe's to get something up for our water system yesterday, and they have a big sign up that says, "Don't step up to the register until the clerk is done wiping it down." And so, you know, they are being very cognizant up here about sterilization and disinfection.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Walgreens
and they
has
have the thing,
thing,
and they have a thing. One last thing, Fran. They have a glass, like a glass.
Yeah, they do. The
plexiglass.
Plexiglass. But you know what's very upsetting is they're closing my Walgreens. I even emailed the corporate office. I walked in
the other
day, and on the door it said they are closing the best Walgreens in Scarsdale, and they do a lot of business. I mean, you could tell out the door with the pharmacy. And I looked at the manager, and he said, "We don't know why. They didn't tell us." And they're transferring all of our medications, all one. I take one thing, which is really nothing, to CVS. So what did I do? I walked into CVS, and I said, "You might be stuck with me. I hope that's okay. I hope you have a sense of humor, because I can call the pharmacy anytime, and they'll answer my questions because they know I'm wacky." But I walked in, and this guy was standing behind there. He was, "Oh, my God, I worked in Walgreens. I got you back. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of you." I said, "Just remember you said that." And he said, "Only if you give me a copy of your new book when it comes out." So that made me feel better, but I still love Walgreens, and I'm aggravated that the people that I trust are not going to be there anymore, which is really whatever. So we have about a few more minutes. We have a lot of more minutes. There are medical offices actually that you can actually go to. My ENT and allergy doctor said I actually have to show up tomorrow afternoon, but you have to wait till they call you to come in, and you're not allowed to sit because they have special chairs that say don't sit here. I don't sit, and I won't go in until they tell me that it's ready for me to go in because I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to be near people.
They have COVID. I think they have COVID. It looks like in my office, which I only go in every a couple of days to get my mail, it's COVID safe. And they have, like, I think, you know, I think, Chris, you know, like when they have for a murder, they have your yellow and blocked off with, COVID safe.
Police tape,
Police tape, So you can't touch
it. They have
things.
It on the chairs. They say, don't sit here, don't sit here, don't sit here. I don't sit anywhere.
Right.
I wait till they call me in, and if I didn't, I usually take a picture of what's bothering me and say, well, can you tell me what this is, but I can't do that tomorrow. It's so sad.
I would say if you don't need to go to a doctor, don't go. That's my opinion.
In this particular case, I don't have a choice, but I make them laugh, so what can I tell you? How do you feel about, we were talking about blood pressure and blood tests and stuff like that. It's hard. You can't get that, but... How do you feel if you really don't feel well? Will you go to an urgent care? I mean, the urgent care that I go to once every blue moon for my face.
Well, if you're sick, you should go,
I call them and tell them, guess what, I'm here. But the good part about this particular one is they only let one person at a time. And then they take you right back.
I would go if I absolutely had to, if I was really, really sick. I do have a heart condition, so I have had the occasion where I thought I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure I had some symptoms that may have been a mild heart attack, so I had to go. If I had those symptoms again, I would go. But I would really, really have to feel like I needed to. I think a lot of us are a little bit leery about going to emergency rooms or urgent care.
Yeah.
And I would hold off as long as I could.
Yeah. But you shouldn't.
Well, if I didn't have my accident,
I
wouldn't have gone at all. Trust me, I would not have gone.
But the
good part about it is
broken finger. Broken finger. I mean, if you have a heart problem, like Chris said, yes, you should go. Yes, definitely. I mean, because that you don't want to have a heart attack.
You have to, yeah.
Because you waited and you could have gotten attention right away. To prevent you from either dying or just, you may not even have, I'm not talking about Chris, anybody, you could have had something else, but you can't just ignore things. Certain things can't be ignored.
Yeah.
Well, if I didn't hit my head and I didn't hit my knee and the rest of it, I probably would have left my finger to the next day when the hand surgeon said, get here. And he's a riot. I didn't even want to go. I mean, I found out I had a compound fracture in my gum and go, whatever. I'll live. I mean, like I said to my husband, God was watching over me because I was lucky. It could have been worse, much worse.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When I fell, I thought I broke my nose. Actually, I didn't. What I did was my side of my nose is purple to match my purple streaks now because I washed my hair with purple soap, purple shampoo yesterday, and it does take away the gray in hair. No, seriously. I had to do something because my hair just is in the Bronx, and he's not coming here anytime soon at all. That's so sad. But
that's one of the things. That's one of the things, because that's personal contact. So, nobody knows what it's going to be. Eventually, yes, we will have to go out. And, I think as the time goes on, I think more people, instead of really wanting to go out, they're going to be used to it and going to say, maybe I shouldn't go out. So there'll be a lot of hesitancy going out because, if you stayed in for 3 months, you hope that this would have been enough. So, and then when that's why I think people are thinking, is it enough or should I not go out anymore? You're going to have people like that too. It's really, you have to have strong leadership. And I think that is the case. And unfortunately, we don't have strong leadership on this. And it shouldn't be political. It should be medical. This is not political.
I know.
This is medicine. And so once you put it all out there for everybody, you're getting people saying things that they have no idea what they're talking about. And that's very dangerous. So I think that's where we are now. They're guessing. Is never good.
Everything is political with this guy. It's a nightmare because it's political, and so much has been.
Yeah.
You see the CDC gets hushed up stuff, and that's wrong. This we're talking about the nation's health, and I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. You're killing Americans. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. And Chris Christie said something the other day that was even scarier. I think we should open up, and so what if we lose lives? I was like, are you out of your mind? And Mike Pence
is
now in
this.
When
people make statements
like that, we're just
going
to have
serious.
To accept the fact there's going to be death.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing that,
It's terrible.
That's
terrible.
First,
I know.
Tubby,
it's unbelievable.
This
is
extremely callous.
This is it. I mean, there's nothing.
Gabriel, go ahead.
Gabriel's back. Okay.
Gabriel,
yes, I'm back. No, I was just going to say it's extremely callous. And one of the things that I think people have not looked at yet, and we shouldn't right now, the rest of the world is watching us, and we have damaged, I think, our reputation in the world politics. So, whatever the politics, whatever your politics are, it's damaging to your party and to what you believe in. But the perception on the international stage is horrible. You look at what's written in other papers, if you can read another language. But even if you look at the British papers, like the Guardian, they're looking at us like we're not the American people, but American leadership as total idiots.
Because we always were. we were always there for everybody else.
Right.
And we're not there for everybody else because we can't even be there for ourselves.
We're not going to recover. Yeah, it'll be a decade before we recover from all of this and our damage in the world, in worldview. This has been just a nightmare, you know. And
well,
that's
very, very
don't
true.
Don't trust us. Nobody trusts us anymore.
Well,
I don't think we trust us anymore.
Well, we have a choice, and we have an election coming up. Everybody needs to go and vote. That's it.
Oh,
I will be voting if it's raining, snowing, sleeting, 10 below. I will be voting, you know, and that's what we need to do is just vote, and then we'll get heard. That's all I can say.
Let's hopefully,
you know,
hopefully the person that wins will be better, and hopefully they pick a running mate that'll give him some kind of stamina in case he doesn't make, because he's kind of old for the job, but he's much better than what we've got.
I think everybody knows we're really voting for the BP.
Yeah, no.
You know.
Yes.
Right.
But you know, I will say one thing. Vice President Biden did say when this started what steps he would have taken. And if those steps were taken, we would not be where we are right at this moment. Sometimes you have certain diseases come in, but we would not be if we would have taken some of his steps. So when they say age sometimes doesn't mean anything when you can have somebody that's 40 that doesn't know what they're doing and they're president. So if there's somebody that he has done this before, Biden, and so he knows what he is necessary for a vice president. So I think he will pick a vice president that will be able to work with him. And then I think if they win, we will see things come back to some sort of normalcy, only because there's a system in place that we lost. And when we get the system back somewhat, then I think we have a chance of moving on to a good place.
Well, I hope so, because our governor has extended the stay at home till June. The only other thing that, real fast, we have about 5 minutes, is graduation for the poor children that are not going to graduate. There are a lot of virtual graduations that are happening, which I think is fantastic. My niece is graduating at the top of her class, but they postponed it till July, she said. And what did she tell me? She said, "You can hold off on the present. I'll let you know what I want. It might be bigger.
Yeah.
What can I tell you?" she's a 4.0 like her aunt. So what can I say? So any last words before we finish? As far as this thing with mask, try it. I mean, I did wash my glasses with warm water and soap, and I put it up on top higher. And actually, I didn't fall yesterday, which is really good. I think you need air. So even if you don't take a walk, if you have a house, that would be nice, or you have a terrace, you need air. You need to sit outside. You can't just sit like a shut-in forever. We take rides. We just go for a long ride just to see all the stores that are closed and wave. Or I'm hoping that my niece comes and does a drive-by so I can see my niece and my little niece who I haven't seen. She's going to be 2 very soon, and I want her to know.
It is amazing. It is amazing when you drive by hotels and there's nobody in them and it's dark.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't think people, you know, I mean, nobody could have ever thought, well, I shouldn't say nobody, because I think people did know about this, that, you know, I'm not a scientist, but they thought these things were coming, you know, bad things. So I think, but the rest of us, we never saw this coming. And so I think we should all hope that this will get better, because I think we understand what to do now. It's a matter of if people do it, you know, and that's why if the states, if they go out, then it's endangering everyone. We're in for till June for sure in Chicago. So
we are too.
Well, in Washington, the governor is doing things in steps. And the first thing was to let people that work outside start working again, you know, the builders and stuff like that. And then slowly but surely, but all, you know, restaurants and bars, that's going to be the last thing he opens. And people are pretty good about that up here. But we're in it till probably at least beginning of June, too, or middle of June before there's any. And I don't know, you know, I like you said, get out, walk, take a little walk around the block. We walk our dogs once a day. Or, you know, if you have a porch, my husband and I, been, the weather's been good. We've been sitting there. You have a glass of wine. He has a beer. We sit, just sit on the porch and just enjoy the breeze, you know.
Yeah, my cousin lives in Florida, and she said she what they did was, I thought this is really cool, because I can't do it here. People in my building don't say hello. Nobody talks to anybody, and they look at you like, what's wrong? You know, well, okay. But she has a huge, huge backyard, and what they did was they had a virtual drinking party, whatever. So they sat like 6 feet away from each other, and they were able to talk across the yard.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool that she got to see her neighbors, and they got to actually talk, whereas I felt bad yesterday that my cousin didn't get to see my niece and her children because they decided to take a ride. And I said, now, why didn't they drive by her house? So that's a lot of that. But I want to thank everyone. This has been really informative.
Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate this. This has been bothering me. I mean, it's not just social distancing. It's just a way of life that changed. And it's hard. It's hard for kids, too. It's hard for adults. I just don't want to become so angry and negative that when can call, I just want my hairdresser to come back. That's all, please. That would make me happy just for one
day. On a lighter note, let me just say one thing. Somebody said to me, you know, they go, like, well, where are you going for your manicures? I go, you know what? I can do my own nails.
Me too.
I can get polish. You know, it's like, you know, people don't realize they can do things. I did my nails before I got manicures. You know, I mean, we can do things that we think we can't. And, you know, staying healthy is the number one thing we can do for ourselves. Other things, if you don't, they always say it, if you don't have your health, you have nothing. And guess what?
That's
really
right.
Counting now. That matters.
That's right. That does, health does matter. Health does matter.
One thing,
as far as my nails are concerned,
Fran,
I polished the broken finger. That's about it.
Can I say, if anybody on the show or anybody out there would like to have a show about a certain topic, you can reach me at Marcia Castro Cook. I like Fran, both of us. I mean, we've done author shows for over 10 years, but I think when you have issues going on now, I think it's always a good thing to be able to talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for, because people need to hear from other people about what they're doing, you know, and
what
not feel
again?
So alone.
Is it Marcia what?
Marcia Casper. Fran will give you my.
Okay.
Fran,
I will email you with. I will email you with her information and her show.
Yeah, and Fran, are you planning on having more shows like this? Are you? You know, I
I'm
think
going
it's a good
to
thing.
Have.
Yeah.
Thursday. If I survive today, Thursday, if everything goes well, I am having a show with, he emailed me yesterday and said, you need to call me. He's going to have to wait till later. Sam Oliver is a minister, and he said that we're going to talk about soul caring and healing care and hospice in the time of a coronavirus. Next Tuesday, I'm going to have a show with Pastor Michael Jones. We're going to talk about how to deal with stress and anxiety, and how prayer and however whatever else you want to talk to, we're going to talk about it at 10. But the show with Sam Oliver is at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning, 8 a.m. And he said that he's got a lot of contacts. And he told me that
early.
He wouldn't tell me who's going to be listening. And I said, oh my God. He said, this is going to go all over the world. He said he doesn't. He wouldn't
he's
tell
very,
me.
You know what? He's so calming. Just his voice is calming. It's true.
Yeah, I know. And I just hope it's not going to certain places that I'm going to like, oh, my God. He made it sound as if you don't know how far up and what country is going to listen. But I think he's got a lot of ministers and people that are going to be listening on Thursday. So I got to really be up on my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So thank
he's
you,
great.
Everybody. It's raining outside,
thank
but
you.
Don't let that stop you. And you know what? It is raining. It's cloudy. I don't know how it is there. It's 48 degrees here, and with 48 degrees, I don't even need a jacket, just a vest. But everybody, seriously, I can't wait for everybody's next book to come out. And
thank
Marcia
you.
Has a whole lot of children's books,
thank
and
you.
Snack Attack is still my favorite. So whenever
thank
you,
you
want to do a panel show, and I will let you know, look, A Good Story is A Good Story is her show. Everybody have a great day, and bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.